stay tuned for one of the most fascinating programs you'll ever hear as we explore the strange and mysterious world of the paranormal and UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dealing with extraordinary claims of the paranormal, on Earth and beyond. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, the controversies are real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of parapsychology, futuristic science, and the UFO enigma. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss some of the most fascinating and strange subjects around. Now here's your host, Michael Corbin.
Good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet Continuum, home of common sense, no-nonsense paranormal talk radio. Your most reliable source for news and information, and this program tonight is going to talk about, we're going to go inside the CIA's Stargate program, a program involving remote viewing. There is a surprising twist to the story, so stay tuned. It's going to be very, very interesting. A quote from my guest tonight: I wish that as this phase of my life comes to a close, I could look back and say that I did what destiny dictated. Despite what I wish, this is what I believe. I have stolen something from my children. I have created scars where wounds should never have been inflicted. When I pass from this life, I will leave my children a complex and troubled legacy. I lament the fact that they will have to make choices about the memory of their father. Now, those reflections of a father's pain are the end result of one of the most remarkable true life tales of our time. David Morehouse was a highly decorated Army officer in 1987 while on Army Ranger maneuvers in the Jordanian desert. A stray bullet lodged in his Kevlar helmet, causing head trauma. By all accounts, he could have been killed during that accident. Morehouse survived, but the injury would change his life in a way he never could have imagined. Now, his incredible story is told in a new book that is out on the market now called Psychic Warrior, Inside the CIA's Stargate Program, the True Story of a Soldier's Espionage and Awakening. It's a real-life X-Files, which takes the reader through a soldier's hell and eventual enlightenment. Now, after recovering from the accidental shooting, my guest tonight, David Morehouse, began having out-of-body experiences. These episodes made Morehouse the perfect candidate for the CIA and Defense Intelligence Agency's highly secret psychic spying program, Stargate. That's one of the many code names. The program maintained an 88% accuracy rate, but also contained serious side effects. Now, despite warnings from his superior officer and his family about its dangers, the mystery of psychic spying, or remote viewing as it's known, was too intriguing for Morehouse to refuse. Once in the program, Morehouse quickly became one of the CIA's best that they had ever had. Not long thereafter, he learned the CIA was planning to expand the program from a peacetime investigative operation to one which could be used in an offensive, lethal capacity. Now, to get into the program, all Morehouse had to do was to prove his abilities. After he tried blowing the lid off, getting out would be another matter. My guest tonight, David Morehouse, holds a M.A. in Military Art and Science. He earned that at Fort Leavenworth. He also has a Ph.D. from LaSalle University in New Orleans. His numerous military awards include the Defense Meritorious Service Medal, the Army Meritorious Service Medal 4 times, the Joint Service Commendation Medal, the Army Commendation Medal 3 awards, and paratrooper wings from 6 foreign nations. He currently writes and lectures about peace, most recently as a speaker and panel member at the Mikhail Gorbachev Foundation's 1995 State of the World Forum. Morehouse and his wife and 3 children live outside Baltimore, Maryland, and it is my pleasure to welcome to the program tonight David Morehouse. Good evening, David.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Very good, and thank you for being on the program.
My pleasure.
Take us right into the guts of this book. What is it about?
Well, it is... What it is not is it is not a chronological listing of the history of remote viewing as we know it. But what it does talk about is my experiences personally, the trauma, as you talked about, after being shot in the head, the experiences, the supernatural experiences, the recruiting process of me being brought into the Stargate program, what the training in the Stargate program was like, what my family endured as I was going through the training process, what the family was told by the government would happen to their father and to their husband, and what did happen. And then my reaching a philosophical impasse with the profession of arms, and my making or reaching what I felt was a moral and an ethical decision to tell this story, because I believed that remote viewing was something that could benefit all of humankind, and that it had no right to be sequestered away as a weapon of war or as an intelligence collection tool, and that this gift should be brought forward. And then, after having made that decision, again against the counsel of my father, who was I was a third generation Army officer, but and my father was very much in support of me, but did not want me to come out and tell the story, because he, deep within himself, understood what the repercussions would be, as did my wife. Yet I made the decision to tell it, and then the story unfolds what the government will do to an individual who violates their secrecy oath and attempts to tell something, to tell a secret, regardless of what the impact or value to humankind might be.
Mm-hmm. Now, about a little over a year ago, the public was treated, I guess if you will say, in mainstream media, to the reality of remote viewing. I believe it was on Ted Koppel, Nightline, that you talked about that. I guess in a lot of ways, how do you speak to this idea that the public, we're dealing with something that is kind of way out there? Is it really real?
I'm sorry?
Is it really real?
Yeah, it is. I guess what's important for the listeners to know is that this was not something that was born in some dark back room with a beaded curtain by some starry-eyed New Age guru type.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that has a bed in science. This began with the CIA finding out, actually through the Mossad, that the Soviet Union was heavily involved in paranormal research. And the CIA, and I'm abbreviating this considerably, but the CIA procured about a $28 million endowment. The figure varies from whatever source you talk to, but about the $28 million endowment, which was pumped into Stanford Research Institute. And probably the real heroes of this story, who are two laser physicists by the name of Russell Targ and Harold Puthoff, were charged with working with a number of natural psychics, the late Pat Price and the still living Ingo Swann and Uri Geller and others.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it through a very methodical and scientific approach to validate and substantiate the existence of this phenomena. And once they did that and proved to the CIA that it did work, and it was highly accurate, not 100%, never has been and never will be, but highly accurate and was a viable intelligence collection tool, the training templates were developed, the accreditation and validation templates were developed, and they were passed through to the Intelligence and Security Command, and then later into the Defense Intelligence Agency, and always under the watchful eye and oversight responsibility of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Okay. All right, hold that. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll get into your involvement in Stargate. And I guess in some ways it doesn't have necessarily a happy ending as far as your involvement went, and that's what we're going to talk about next. My guest is David Morehouse. We're talking about his book, Psychic Warrior, Inside the CIA Stargate Program, The True Story of a Soldier's Espionage and Awakening. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Give us a call. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back. Get ready to copy down some computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org. So, don't accept wannabes and substitutes. The name is Paranet, the world's most important communications network.
You can help support the Paranet Continuum by ordering from the 1997 Paranet catalog. Paranet offers products and services to keep you abreast of the latest in ufology and news of the paranormal. Get full-color laser-printed T-shirts and sweatshirts with space travel and alien themes, including the spectacular black-and-white Paranet T-shirt. Get audio cassettes of more than 130 Paranet Continuum radio shows, featuring interviews of such people as Richard Hoagland, Jacques Bellet, Stanton Friedman, Malachi Martin, Travis Walton, Betty Hill, Edgar Mitchell, and others, and topics ranging from abductions to Zeta Reticuli. You can also get Continuum, Paranet's official quarterly magazine, and Paranet memberships with access to MICAP, our UFO investigations group, and discounts on merchandise. The 1997 Paranet catalog is free. Call now, 1-800-836-6381. That's 800-836-6381 for the Paranet catalog.
The mysteries of the paranormal, UFOs, future science, parapsychology, angelic phenomena, ghosts, secret projects, government cover-ups, hoaxes, and frauds. We cover it all on the Paranet Continuum. Now back to your host, Michael Forbes.
1-800-836-2009. 1-800-836-2009. My guest tonight is David Morehouse. We're talking about his newest book, The Psychic Warrior Inside the CIA Stargate Program. Before I return to my guest, I want to make an announcement. I'm very pleased to announce the grand opening of our vastly improved Paranet site on the World Wide Web. Webmaster Brian Wood has created a visually stunning site that's really packed with excellent graphics, animation, and sound. Our new site has a news page where you can keep up with the latest happenings in ufology, the paranormal, and general science. You can become an instant member of Paranet and get immediate access to over 30 megabytes of files, pictures, as well as many audio clips from our best radio shows. Now, soon, we're going to be adding many of our complete shows in real audio format, but you can also visit our expanding page of links to other interesting websites with similar themes. You can find file a sighting report online, too. There's also information on Continuum, our quarterly magazine, and the complete Alien Grays T-shirt and sweatshirt collection. So don't miss out. You can check out our Paranet website at www.paranet.org/paranet. Once again, that's www.paranet.org/paranet. Give it a try, and I'm really happy with it. Okay, returning is my guest, David Morehouse. David, before we get into your individual experiences with this program, can you give us a real quick thumbnail sketch of what remote viewing is?
Yeah, I can give you the Department of Defense definition of it, Mike.
Okay.
It kind of sums it all up. And what it is they take selected individuals, and this is the quote, and we train these selected individuals to transcend time and space, to view persons, places, or things remote in time and space, and to gather and report intelligence information on the same. And that's the definition.
Okay, now, you were recruited by the CIA and the CIA to participate in this program. What kind of things started to occur? What happened when you became a part of this?
Well, the actual recruiting process was quite bizarre. When you come into a special access program, which is a covert, clandestine intelligence collection program.
So this is classified?
Yeah, highly classified.
Okay.
And I came out of the Rangers suffering from these nightmarish episodes after being shot in the head. I really was, I couldn't explain what was going on in my life at the time. I mean, I have to tell you that anything that dealt with the paranormal and visions and angels and nightmares and other things were not in my lexicon. They were not part of my worldview. And to suddenly be confronted with these unexplained episodes and lost pockets of time that I had no accounting for was quite unnerving to me. I didn't know how to handle it. I shared it with my wife. I didn't share it with my superior officers because quite naturally, the Ranger Battalion, to be a company commander there is a very prestigious assignment. It's very competitive. You must stay healthy physically in order to remain in command position there. To have admitted to them that I was having these episodes would have caused me to be immediately removed from command, etc.
Right.
So I left the Rangers during a normal permanent change of station, and I was recruited into a covert organization that was codenamed Royal Cape. And what that organization did, we won't talk about. But to go into a special access program like this, you're required to go through a very extensive battery of psychological evaluation, both oral and written. And they do that so that they can develop a psychological profile on you. Every individual in the unit has one.
Mm-hmm.
There is a psychologist who is detailed to the unit. That's how bizarre and fractional these units are. So having that and then having sat down with the psychologist about 4 months into this new assignment, I admitted to him or confided into him that I was having these episodes. That was when he then began what we call the limited pitch. He started giving me documents and remote viewing sessions and other things that he felt would help explain to me what was going on with me, but by the same token, it was something that was designed to intrigue me and affix me to the prospect of moving into an entirely new realm of thought and consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to be to ultimately taken to the Sunstreak program. The Stargate program was known by five code names that I know of: Grill Flame, Center Lane, I believe Grand Tour Shadow, Sunstreak while I was there, and then it terminated as we knew it, Sunstreak.
Is this kind of stuff still going on?
Oh yes, absolutely. I mean, the first thing you have to realize is that, you know, when we were first when the American people were given this information by the CIA, this was a well orchestrated media blitz back in November of '95. It actually happened as a result of the contract being signed by St. Martin's for the book, and then of course the Interscope and PolyGram signing the movie deal for the book as well, because there's a movie that's going to start filming in March.
Okay.
That covers this. But don't think for a moment, any of the listeners, that the director of Central Intelligence Agency got up one day, came to work, and sat down, you know, eating donuts and drinking coffee with the boys and said, hey, you know that psychic warfare program we've had for the last 20 years? Let's tell the American people about it. They did it as a disinformation and damage control effort. And that was to come forward and say, yeah, we did it. We only spent $20 million on it. We did it for 20 years. We only found it in the last 3 months to be 15% accurate, so we're not going to do it anymore.
What was the reason for the damage control effort?
Well, the CIA, our government in general, does not want to stand up and admit to the American people that it's been employed or engaged in the practice of training not psychics, but training remote viewers. This
mm-hmm.
is not psychic phenomena. It's not clairvoyancy. It's not telepathy. This is the process of going through a very methodical discipline of learning to open conduits from the conscious matrix of the mind into the subconscious matrix of the mind and to gather intelligence information, you know, distance and time and space, as we said.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA and our government does not want to come forward and say, okay, well, we did it, because popular opinion would turn against them and say, well, you wasted our money. Which was already, I mean...
That kind of stuff has already happened anyway, hasn't it? There was some I guess, black about the programs that were going on at Stanford.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, issue of doing that, plus if you can throw up the smoke screen and you can get everybody to look at it and put tongue-in-cheek about it, and if you can minimize the success of it, an experiment gone awry, then what happens is public attention is diverted away from the reality of the existence of the phenomena, the reality of the potential of the phenomena, and then the intelligence community is allowed to go on and continue to practice and execute this in secret, which is what they want to do, because secrets are, you know, is the control of knowledge, and the control of knowledge is the development of the establishment of absolute power, and we know what that does.
Oh, sure. Question I have regarding that, and then we'll move on to another thing. But with respect to remote viewing itself, and there's several people in the field now today that we hear a lot about that are publishing books about some pretty, you know, incredible things. Like for example, Courtney Brown, who has published a book about remote viewing Martians and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Do you see
Courtney well?
It would be this kind of stuff as possibly damaging to any credible, because I know a lot of people don't take a lot of stock in that.
Yeah, I do, and you know, and I have to first say that that Courtney Brown is an extremely sincere man, and I love him a great deal. He's you know, he's a chaos theatrician at Emory University. He's a very learned man. However, I don't share, and that doesn't mean that he's completely wrong. I just don't share the direction that he is taking remote viewing in. But that's okay. There are others. There is another former colleague of mine that I don't share his direction either. The thing I think that the listeners have to understand is, without me trying to dash the direction that these folks are taking it, is just be skeptical about it. Be skeptical about me and about anyone else that comes up and talks to you about these sorts of things. But being skeptical means just asking intelligent questions and expecting intelligent and logical informed answers. Don't be closed-minded about it.
Well, right, and I agree.
What Courtney says, and listen to what others say, and form your own opinions based on that.
Sure, and I agree with you, because if this is a scientific process, then of course it's something that can be, you know, proven out
You know, Courtney has taken it, Michael, in a very spiritual direction. That's what he's trying to do with it. He's very much involved in the UFO-ish aspect of it, and the alien aspect, and also, you know, taking as I read the book when it was in manuscript form.
Mm-hmm.
I've not read the completed work, but I read it for him, and I made some comments on it, and so, you know, I still think that you should read the book for the journey inward that it will give you, and it'll be a very enlightening experience for you. And some people have read it and said, hey, this is the most magnificent, life-changing thing I've read, and others are going to look at it and put tongue-in-cheek and go, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold that thought, David. We've got to go to another break and we'll come back and get into this the things that occurred while you were in the program. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Very interesting discussion tonight. David Morehouse is my guest. We're talking about his book, Psychic Warrior. So give us a call if you have any questions about remote viewing or what's going on out there. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet Continuum.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274. Or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
This is the Paranet Continuum, where we answer questions and question answers. And we want to know what you think. Call us and stay tuned. Now back to your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back, my guest, David Morehouse. We're talking about his book, Psychic Warrior, and indeed, we want to know what you think. And David, we're going to go to the phones. We have a couple of callers here. We've got Catherine calling in on our affiliate KHTL in Albuquerque. Good evening, Catherine.
Hello.
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 You're on the air. What's your question?
Yes, I wanted to ask David if remote viewing could be used to tell for like medical diagnosis or to tell if an individual will develop mental illness in the future, for example, schizophrenia or psychosis.
Catherine, a remote viewing is not very good for looking into the future. There are those that will disagree with me on that, but I'm going to tell you that it is not. Future time is a very fluid event, and for a remote viewer to go forward in time and look at an event and come back and describe it and say yes or no, there's literally, in the time it's taken them to do that, an infinite number of variables have impacted on the future event and caused it to skew one direction or another. It does have a great deal of, remote viewing does have a great deal of medical application. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we came forward to tell the story, was to say that this is a tremendous law enforcement tool. It's a tremendous research and development tool for medicine, science, industry, and things of that ilk. It does have application there.
Okay. Now, David, as a remote viewer, tell us, maybe give us a couple of war stories. What kind of things did you see as a remote viewer?
Well, you know, we worked as intelligence collectors. There have been a lot of questions. People will say, well, you know, who shot Kennedy then? And, you know, where's this located or that located? And you have to understand that every day when we came to work, we picked up a tasking sheet and we worked one or two remote viewing projects a day, 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week. We didn't do things recreationally. So what we worked were Army or Department of Defense intelligence collection targets, which would be, we worked in support of the drug wars. We worked in support of things of the nature of trying to determine whether or not a suspected double agent operating inside or outside of the CIA or DIA, what they might be doing. We worked on targets like Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie or Cal Flight 007. We worked the Gulf War targets. We worked any number of others, like Marine Lieutenant Colonel Higgins. We notified the Defense Intelligence Agency. We tracked Colonel Higgins' captivity, and then we notified the Defense Intelligence Agency some 8 days before Colonel Higgins' body was ever displayed on television. We notified them that he was, in fact, dead. He actually died of natural causes and then was presented by the terrorists just so that they could prove the point. You know, they weren't going to just turn him back over and say, gee, he died in captivity. They had to make it as though he, was a bad person, and so we now had to display a hanging body. So those were the kinds of things that we did day in and day out.
How accurate were you?
Well, every remote viewer varies, and we basically ran the spectrum of about 60 to 80%, sometimes much higher, sometimes much lower. And you were tracked via training targets where there was feedback immediately available to your trainer or your monitor so they could work you on a target, and this would be a hypothetical. Your target may be the Washington Monument, and if you don't know that, you're working it blind or double blind or triple blind sometimes. But you're working this training target, and, of course, they have feedback immediately available. They know what all of the aspects of the target are. You provide a sketch and summary to them after your remote viewing session, and they grade you, and they establish, okay, well, today Morehouse was 48% accurate. Tomorrow I may be 62. The next day, 78.
What are some of the factors that might affect your accuracy?
Physical inclemencies, advanced visuals, analytical overlay. Now, those are all, you know, elements. If you have a cold, if you are fatigued, sometimes you come in and you have advanced visuals, means you start having auditory and visual hallucinations about what, or images that are flowing in and out of you that you might be relevant to the site, or you might think that they're relative to the site, and so you have to declare those. Those can hamper your ability to get a pure data image of the site itself, of the target when you're looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Analytical overlay, which is a fancy remote viewing term for the process of imagination, and that is where, as an example here again, you begin perceiving data that's relevant to the target, which was the Washington Monument that I was talking to you about earlier, but you describe it as a rocket ship because it's tall, it's pointed at the end, it has a wide base, sits on a circular pad, has vehicles that service it, you know, people sit in the inside of it, and, you know, it's hollow on the inside with a steel frame and a thinner outer skin. You follow me? That's what happens in the process of analytical overlay.
Okay.
Your imagination overrides the pure data that's being brought up from the conscious mind through the subconscious mind.
Okay, we got about 1 minute to break. Let's take another call. We've got Roy calling in from Meridian, Idaho, on our affiliate KIDO. Good evening, Roy.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Yes, I would like to ask your guest, Mr. Moore, there's controversy concerning Hale Bopp, and there have been some stories, I don't know how accurate they are or what, but they're concerning Hale Bopp, and some remote viewers have made some comments. I'll hang up and let you answer that so I can hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Roy. Okay, comments on Hale Bopp real quick, David.
I have no opinion on it whatsoever, and I apologize, but I mean, I've worked it, I've looked at it with some other remote viewers. There are other things that I think are more critical right now that we're looking at, and I know that some of my former colleagues have some opinions, but I don't really share them at this point. I think we're going to be okay.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to go to another break. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is David Morehouse. We're talking about his book, Psychic Warrior. We'll be back in just a moment, so stay tuned.
You can help support the Paranet Continuum by ordering from the 1997 Paranet Catalog. Paranet offers products and services to keep you abreast of the latest in ufology and news of the paranormal. Get full-color laser-printed T-shirts and sweatshirts with space travel and alien themes, including the spectacular black-and-white Paranet T-shirt. Get audio cassettes of more than 130 Paranet Continuum radio shows, featuring interviews of such people as Richard Hoagland, Jacques Vallée, Stanton Friedman, Malachi Martin, Travis Walton, Betty Hill, Edgar Mitchell, and others, and topics ranging from abductions to Zeta Reticuli. You can also get Continuum, Paranet's official quarterly magazine, and Paranet memberships with access to MyCap, our UFO investigations group, and discounts on merchandise. The 1997 Paranet catalog is free. Call now, 1-800-836-6381. That's 800-836-6381 for the Paranet catalog.
Computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org. So, don't accept wannabes and substitutes. The name is Paranet, the world's most important communications network.
Are UFOs for real, or are they just fiction, or imagination, or disinformation? To find out, stay tuned for more of the Paranet Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
David, I'm curious, how were you affected by the things that you saw?
Well, the process of training itself, causes remote viewers to take on this an entirely new worldview. I mean, what you end up doing is you no longer walk through life just being focused on the physical dimension and what you can sense with the five senses that we possess. What happens is you open up conduits into the subconscious mind, and you are then forced to walk through the rest of your life with one foot in the conscious matrix of the mind and one foot in the subconscious matrix of the mind. And for a natural psychic or a natural remote viewer, excuse me, someone like, for example, Mel Riley, who had his very first experience of this nature probably at the age of 8 or 10 years of age, or Lynn Buchanan, who had an experience at a very young age. These people grow up living their lives, understanding what it's like to have this ability. It's second nature to them. They don't even know what it's like not to have it. But for someone like me, who suffered a catastrophic head wound and then developed this, or somebody like Joe McMonagle, who had a near-death experience and then developed this ability, it's different for us. It becomes something in the early stages of the development of this gift is a very cumbersome thing. It's a very frightening thing. It's very confusing. You're a human antenna. You will become a conduit, the information flowing freely in and out of you in an unwitting, you don't have to be a willing participant in this. It comes and goes. And that's concerning to a lot of folks. It was to me. You begin to lose the ability to share this information or just share your experiences or feelings with the people that are close around you. You begin to only talk to other remote viewers, and you begin to shut down from the rest of humanity and lose your ability to communicate with them. Now, I know that how I'm presenting this sounds as though it's a bit more severe than perhaps it really is, but these are the kinds of feelings that a remote viewer goes through. These are the kinds of things that you have to sort out within yourself over time. Now, my first experiences with this began 10 years ago, and so because it was in 87 when I was shot in the head. Now, over time, in those past 10 years, I've learned to cope a great deal, more than I ever did 10, 9, or 8 years ago, if that makes any sense.
Sure. Now, we mentioned earlier in the program that the CIA has an intention of using remote viewing as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
What did that do for you?
Well, it was not the final straw, but it was certainly one of the final straws of my participation in the intelligence community. You have to remember that I was a special operations infantryman. I was not a covert intel person. The fact that I came into that world was quite unique in and of itself. And so I didn't really fit in there, and I did question a great deal of what I saw and of what went on there. And I questioned the morality and the ethics that were brought forward in taking some of the things that I thought were, as in this example, extremely precious and extremely valuable, and then were hidden away as secrets and never to be revealed to anyone and to be used in our own perverse and sinister sorts of ways. And so that's how I began to feel about it. I just came to a point where I no longer accepted what I was being told. I no longer turned blindly and said, okay, you say it's a secret, then I raise my right arm to the square and say it's a secret, and I follow you blindly into this. And I think you're seeing an emergence of a new, not only a new breed of officer, but just a new breed of service member that's actually beginning to question the ethics and morality of many of the things that they're being told to hide away from the real people that they owe their allegiance to, which is the people of the United States.
Okay, such as what? What kinds of things?
Well, I'm sorry?
Such as what kinds of things that they're hiding away?
Well, I mean, the ability of remote viewing, or the fact that remote viewing is going to has been in the process of emerging into remote influencing, which is training selected individuals to be able to influence the mind of another human being in a detrimental way. I mean, Uri Geller was involved in that early on, and he'll freely admit that to you. Uri and I are going to be doing a show together in February, and one of the things I've asked Uri to do is to embellish that a little bit and talk a little bit more about it to people, because what you're seeing is here we're taking what was already an intelligence collection tool, now we're letting it evolve into a weapon of war. So we've taken this gift now and turned it into a weapon. And you're seeing the very popular tide right now is for anybody that's involved in the intelligence community and the research capacity of remote viewing is coming forward and saying, oh, that's all a bunch of crud. Mm-hmm. You know, Morehouse and anybody else that's saying that they're just lying to you. That's not really what's going on. But I'm telling folks, it is. And it goes far more sinister directions than that. But we could talk for hours about those other kinds of things that it's going in, and I know that it's going that direction.
Are they able to kill people with it?
That's the intent. I mean, the intent is capable of doing that. Now, you know, the Soviets were heavily involved in the development of psychotronic generators. There's another thing going on. I mean, as far away as about 6 to 8 years ago, the CIA was sponsoring in Washington, D.C., a council were dealing with a thing called MEG, which is magnetic electroencephalograph. And in essence, what they're doing is magnetically mapping the human mind. And what they're doing that for is so that they can establish a map of frequencies. And then by understanding the map of frequencies, they can artificially induce certain frequencies to cause a physiological response or an emotional response. Now, you can take that into whatever extreme realm you want to. I'm just telling you the facts are that three Soviet scientists worked with the CIA and took in a great number of military service members that were, you know, in billets, top secret billets that were interested in this sort of phenomena, and were brought in, were coached and taught and shown hardware devices that were allowing them to map human brains and then to be able to artificially induce some sort of a physiological response by doing frequency overrides and things of that nature.
What type of, obviously something that could take such a sinister direction, what type of oversight or what type of management is in place that would that assures that this doesn't happen?
Well, that's a really good question, and the frightening answer, rather, is to say that there is no oversight. The problem with the intelligence community is that the intelligence community, because the very nature of the beast, it designs special access programs, it designs compartmented information or compartmented intelligence, which means that one office does not necessarily know what the next office is doing. They build that in as their own protection. So you have one or two or three or four or five guys operating in an office designing and developing an intelligence program that the only people that know about the program are what the selected individual that's going to do the briefing out of that program steps forward to tell someone in an oversight capacity. And so you have intelligence sources briefing intelligence sources, and it never really gets to a clean oversight level where somebody's stepping back and is saying, well, wait a minute, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. So you have it's incestuous. Mm-hmm. You have people within the intelligence community providing oversight because of the nature of the classified program, providing oversight to another intelligence program. So you have, in essence, liars checking liars.
Would you say that it's out of control?
It's absolutely out of control, and we've spent 50 years building it. And I'm going to tell you that were we to turn around and abolish the Central Intelligence Agency and the DIA and the NSA and any of the other agencies that are involved in this intelligence community today, it is so convoluted now in so many layers that it would never go away. It'd be much like the KGB. It still exists.
Yeah. Hold that thought. We've got to go to our last break. When we come back, we'll have to get some final comments. We're really running short on time, and this is a very interesting discussion. But we'll try to hit the points about your leaving the program and what you're doing today. Wow. Stay tuned. My guest is David Morehouse. We're talking about his guest or about his book, Psychic Warrior. We'll be back in just a moment.
Get ready to copy down some computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org. So, don't accept wannabes and substitutes. The name is Paranet, the world's most important communications network.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free, pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
In touch with the latest news on the paranormal and the growing UFO phenomena by fax, computer network, and this program, the Paranet Continuum. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And returning is my guest, David Morehouse. David, you broke away from the program, and what happened then?
Well, I mean, what happened to me when I made the decision to break away?
Well, no, actually, what happened when you actually did try to break away from the program? I understand that they tried to assassinate your career, that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably best summed up by the comments of my defense attorney. I mean, obviously, what they tried to do is to court-martial me for a number of charges, all of which were unsubstantiated and were simply allegations that were made. And I'm sure that anybody that's listening that has an interest in this has probably seen some of the documents on the internet, and it's best summed up by the lead in my defense team, who was defending me in the case against the U.S. government, was Barry Steinberg, who said, you know, after 28 years in the military legal system, 8 of those years sitting the bench as a military judge, he had never seen such Gestapo tactics, and that was simply that the charges that were presented against me were done to do one thing, or two things rather. One was to discredit Dave Morehouse, and two was to send a very clear message to the rest of the intelligence community that if you want to end up like Dave Morehouse, go ahead and tell a secret.
Sure.
Now those were, those were the soft issues of the court martial. There were also some very active issues, which were threats. Many of the threats acted out against my family and against myself, all of which is detailed in the book. And that was a very frightening thing for me, to think that the government that three generations of my family had had served very loyally and faithfully was now turning against and attempting to kill children, in addition to a wife, and you know, let alone me.
Quite a mess. Well, we've got to wrap it up right here. David, give out your email address if the folks want to reach you.
Contact me at dwatcher, that's D-W-A-T-C-H-E-R, at cnsii.com.
Okay. And we'll put a pointer in there on our webpage as well for you to reach David Morehouse. David, that's it for tonight. We'll try to schedule you to come back and get a little bit more into this. I want to thank you for being on the program. And again, his book is on the market. It is Psychic Warrior, and I highly encourage you to get a copy of it and read it. And until next week, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.